We're living in a world where people are isolated. They don't want to deal with anybody. And we have this feeling, and we even convey it, which is, I don't need the church. I don't need the church. Me and Jesus, we got this thing going. I can watch my favorite preachers on TV. I have my podcast laid out. I got the latest, greatest book by David Jeremiah. I don't need the church. It's as if, now I want you to think with me, your 8-year-old or 10-year-old coming to you and saying, I don't need this family. What would you do? I know what I would do. Try that. And yet that's how we treat this family as optional. I don't have to have this group of people. That's never been God's plan.
You just heard a portion of the upcoming message titled, Thankful for Our Church Family, by Pastor Abadan Shah of Clearview Church in Henderson, North Carolina. At Clearview, our focus is on making Christ visible, from the way we worship, to the way we serve, to the way we love one another. Come check us out at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for the rest of this week's message.
One of my fondest memories growing up was to being around the family and having the family meals. I especially remember those meals when they would cook my favorite dish or my favorite dessert. What mom and dad and my grandma lived with us, they would do is they would take their fork or their spoon and cut off a portion of whatever it is, whether it was cheesecake or something of that sort, and they would take it and they would put it on my plate. And the reason they would do that is because they were telling me they knew how much I liked that particular dish, and they were willing to sacrifice and give it to me and see me enjoy, and that brought them joy. That brought them satisfaction to see me enjoy whatever I like. It was an atmosphere of comfort. That family table was an atmosphere of assurance that we are here for you and we want the best for you. I have done the same thing with my children. You know how you carry on the same tradition? So when I see them enjoying a dish when they were young, I would take a piece of that cheesecake or even at times pecan pie and cut it up and put it in their plate and watch them eat it up. And it brought me joy because I want them to have that same feeling of assurance, the feeling of joy, knowing that this is a safe place where people care about you, genuinely care about you. By the way, we're not talking about vegetables. We're talking about sweets and desserts and ice creams and things of that nature. Just want to clarify that. You see, family is where we learn how to love others. Family is where we learn how to live with others. The church is also a family. This is the group of people around whom you learn how to love other people and how to live with other people. And unlike our earthly family, which is temporal, did you know that look around you, these are the people, if they know Christ as their Savior, you will spend eternity with them. And the amazing thing about it is, there is always a place at the table for more to come in. That's our church family. We're living in a world where people are isolated. They don't want to deal with anybody. And we have this feeling, and we even convey it, which is, I don't need the church. I don't need the church. Me and Jesus, we got this thing going. I can watch my favorite preachers on TV. I have my podcast laid out. I got the latest, greatest book by David Jeremiah. I don't need the church. It's as if, now I want you to think with me, your 8-year-old or 10-year-old coming to you and saying, I don't need this family. What would you do? I know what I would do. Try that. And yet that's how we treat this family as optional. I don't have to have this group of people. That's never been God's plan. And this morning we're going to learn how important it is to be thankful for the church family. And I'll say it right from the beginning. Clearview is not a perfect church, but it's one church I'm really grateful to God for. And I hope you are as well. You have your Bibles with you, turn to Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 12, where Paul talks about the characteristics of what makes a great church, and we'll see how at Clearview, imperfectly as you may think, I've seen these qualities, and I'm grateful to God for this place. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 12, let's all stand once again for the reading of God's Word. Therefore, as the elect of God, now keep that in mind. What we have done is we have come to the passages we're about to read and we rip it out of context and we apply it to our individual lives. That's not what Paul intended. He is talking to the elect of God. It's not about election. This passage is not about the doctrine of predestination or any of that. He's talking about the people of God. The context of this passage is collective, not individual Christian life. So listen again. He says, therefore, as the elect of God, you people, the church, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. So you see, this is in the context of the church family. What's more, Colossians 3:14, but above all these things, put on love. What is it that holds us together? Love. What holds our earthly family together? Love. What holds our church family together is the agape love, which is the bond of perfection. Question for you before I pray and we get into the message. How do you see the church family? Do you see the church family as optional? Do you see the church family as burdensome? We gotta go to church. Or do you see the church family as essential and, listen, beneficial? This is where you learn, should learn, how to live with other people out there. This is where you learn how to love other people in spite of their faults and their failure. How do you see the church family? And are you part of the church family? You see, the door to the church is Christ. When you receive Him as your Savior and your Lord, at that moment you find there is already a table set, and there's a chair, and there's a plate. Welcome to the family meal. Meal that never ends. Amen? The passage we just read from Colossians chapter 3, Paul is talking to the church. As I just mentioned to you, he's telling them certain qualities, I would say essential values of the church family. This is how you should be as a church family. What I want to do this morning is look at this list and tell you how much I am grateful for this church family. I'm not saying for a moment that we are hitting all tens on these values. I'm not saying that we are a perfect church. By no means will I say that. What I am saying this morning is that I am grateful because I see these qualities, these values that Paul is going to list for us in Colossians 3. And I, for one, I am really, truly grateful. And I hope this morning you'll talk to me. I hope this morning you will say amen. I pray this morning that you will not hold back and say, well, maybe one day I'll speak out. Speak out this morning when I say some things about how grateful I am for the godly relationships in this church. Speak out. When I talk about the preaching of the Word, the teaching of the Word in the Sunday school classroom, say amen. You're grateful for your Sunday school teacher? Say amen this morning. For the selfless ministry, those are the things we're going to talk about this morning. So first begin with the godly relationships. Listen again to verse 12. Paul says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, and then he gives us a list of qualities, a list of values that should be in the church family. What are those values? This morning, I just want to look at them in their original language and hopefully get the depth of what Paul really intended. The first thing is the word splunkna. Paul says the word splunkna, which refers to our vital organs. The Greek word is referring to the vital organs like the heart, the kidneys, the liver. In those days, they were considered to be the source of our emotions. When Paul tells them, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on this deep love, this mercy that comes from within. When you are in the church family, be merciful to each other. Not just this surface mercy, but something that comes from within. That's the word splunkna. But the next word Paul uses is the word oiktirmos. Oiktirmos has the idea of compassion, but listen to this. Compassion with a little bit of lamentation, with some tears. What Paul is saying here is, let there be some compassion with tears when you think about each other in the family of God. Now, when you put those two words together, splunkna and oiktirmos, the idea is of a deep, gut-level compassion for others that cannot be put into words. That cannot be put into words. It comes from within, but you cannot express it. It's like a family bond. And maybe some of y'all grew up in tough situations and dysfunctional homes where people hurt each other instead of loving each other. So maybe it's hard to understand, but I hope many of you know what I'm talking about. That family bond between brothers and sisters, the family bond between parents and children, where there is this deep gut-level compassion, but you can't express it. It's there. Folks, when Paul uses these two words together, the idea is of a deep gut-level compassion for others that cannot be expressed in words. Why is it that churches live contrary to this? That when we hear a bad news, we immediately call up the phone, call up people and pick up the phone and we talk trash. Why is it that we do things so contrary? When we hear someone's marriage is in trouble or someone's child is going off the deep end, why does it bring glee to us? Something inside of you should say, I need to fast and pray for that family. Something happened to someone in your family. How can you say, thank God, we're good? Here's another Greek word that Paul uses. The word is krestotes, which has the idea of kindness, is the opposite of harshness. It is always, as someone says, active and alive and breaks out spontaneously in the life of the person who is led by Christ. So you're walking around, God brings someone to your mind. You feel like, hey, I want to do something nice for you. Here's a piece of pie. We're going to bring you some meal. I just felt like calling you and encouraging you. Folks, these are spontaneous acts of kindness. I am grateful for this church family. There are people who do this, and I hope it's happening to each other. Something else, another Greek word, tape na phrosune, which means a deep sense of humility. There's a reason why I'm giving you these words, okay? Not just to show you that I know Greek. It has a deep sense of humility. It is the word that Jesus used to describe himself. Listen to Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. There are people around you who are heavy laden. There are things happening in their lives that you do not know. They're struggling with singleness. They're struggling with sickness. They're struggling with a big bill. There are people sitting here this morning. Maybe that's the concern on their heart, something that they're burdened. Come to me, Jesus said, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Now listen to verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle. Here's the word that Paul uses for kindness. And lowly in heart. When you come to Jesus, he is lowly, he is humble. And what is the result? Can you read it with me? And you will find rest. When you are around people like this, you can rest. You can drop your guard. You're safe. How do people feel when they're around you? I'll tell you personally, folks, I know some people in my life, maybe not here this morning, but I know some people out there, I don't feel at rest around them because I feel like I'm being judged. I feel like they're about to criticize. They're about to say something that I'll have to defend myself. And just uneasy. How do you feel around people who make you uneasy? You want to get out of there. I am grateful for this church because it's a place where people rush to come here because there is this deep humility like Christ. Our time is running away. Here's another Greek word, praoutes, which means gentleness. That's one of the fruit of the Spirit. Another Greek word is makrothumia that Paul uses, which is more than just patience. It is something that God does in us that helps us meet people with a generous and a self-giving spirit. And then he says in verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. The Greek word anekomai, bearing, means to put up with. How often do you hear people say things like, I'm not going to put up with that. I'm not going to put up with that. They talk about the church as if I have to put up with that. Paul says, put up with it. There might be people in this church building who may have said things and done things to you as they are doing ministry that you feel like, well, that one, right? Put up with it. Forgiving one another. The word is charizomai, which means show grace, comes from the word charis. Colossians 3:14, but above all these things, put on agape, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Love this family. Love one another. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. What we have done is we have ripped this out of context and say, you know, when you have these qualities, you have peace in your heart. No. This is about the church family. You know why I'm grateful for this church family? Because there are people in this place who are actively working to make sure there is peace. I love it. I've had people call me and say, hey, look, so-and-so said this, but don't you worry about it. I went ahead and answered their question. It's all good. Don't worry about that. I'm like, thank you. Blessed are the peacemakers. So this is in the context of the church. Paul says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts to which you were called, what does it say? In one body. Folks, this is not about individual Christians. This is about the body. And B, that's the reason why I chose this passage for this message. Be thankful. I am grateful to this body because of so many attributes that I see every day. Question for you today is, are you grateful for Clearview? Folks, as a pastor, I can tell you, there are many, many, many times y'all have put up with me. I've had a bad day, and you happened to come by, and I didn't give you the time of the day. I was abrupt. I moved on. You didn't say, well, next time. What did you do? You put up with me. And I put up with you too. And I'm grateful for you. Amen. What's the second quality? Word and worship. Listen to verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Again, keep the context in mind. It's in the church context. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. What is the word of Christ? This is the word of Christ. It's the word about Christ. The Old Testament and the New Testament. The priority of this church is biblical preaching. Now, it is my priority, but I'm grateful for this church because it is the church's priority as well. Did you know one of our core values at Clearview is that we are a Bible-believing church that believes in the importance of sound doctrine and the need for a scriptural foundation for our daily life and church? The Bible is our sole authority for faith and practice. Did you know, folks, and I'm not here to talk bad about other churches, because in this community there are other churches that are doing the same thing I'm doing. But what I'm saying to you this morning is that many churches are not. The Bible is not the sole authority. When I study the Word of God to preach, I spend hours. I have certain questions I ask myself before I finally print out the message. I ask questions like, did this message come from the Bible? In its immediate context, in its overall context, I want to make sure it's the truth from the Bible. Is it clear enough to understand and to apply? I don't want to just get up here and preach and dazzle you and confuse you. I want you to obey the Word of God. Does it magnify Jesus Christ and His sacrifice on the cross? Does it draw the lost to salvation? Every message should draw someone to Christ. Does it call the saved to obedience? It takes a while to prepare this, and I'm so grateful for the team at Clearview that many times there are things going on, a function on a Saturday or a Thursday night or something else, and they'll tell me, I know you've been busy, you've been booked up, and you want to go home and work on your sermon, don't you? Yeah, I need to get that done. We got this. And I'm so grateful for the staff at Clearview. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. What is teaching? It is a systematic explanation of truth, not just randomly preaching. I got to preach this morning. I'm preaching something. There is a purpose. Our staff gets together at the start of the year, and we decide what are the doctrines that people need to know. Admonishing is strongly encouraging people. Sometimes you have to correct people. And by the way, it's not just in the pulpit I'm talking about this. It's happening in the Sunday school classes. The Word of God is being taught. It's happening on Wednesday night Bible studies. It's happening in the circle groups. It is happening in the inner circle groups. But now listen to verse 16 again. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Three things Paul says here about worship. Worship is also a priority of our church. It's the core value of Clearview. Psalms, what are psalms? Psalms, the Greek word is psalmois, which comes from another Greek word, psallo, which means to pluck the strings. It's playing a stringed instrument. If I could keep you here throughout the week and let you see how much work goes into planning and prepping for a worship service, it will blow your mind. Those who are on the praise team, they know exactly what I'm talking about. It is a lot of work. A lot of work. We have a new staff member. He said it the other day. He said, I did not realize y'all did that much for just 1 hour. Stringed instruments means we believe in using instruments in worshiping God. Some churches don't. I don't know what they do with that word. Here's another word, hymns. The Greek word is hymnos, which originally was used to mean poetry. I know what you think, some of you. Your Methodist hymnal. Your Baptist hymnal. How many of y'all believe that Paul had the Baptist hymnal? Please don't raise your hand. The word hymn is poetry that was recited or sung. It means to sing about someone or something. It's not just Protestant hymns. And I love those hymns, but don't misunderstand me, folks. It's just poetry that has been put to music. Somehow we think hymns have to be the old songs that were sung 200, 300 years ago. Don't get me wrong, I love those songs, I love those hymns, but with every generation, new songs are written that also rhyme, and you're singing them. Hymns, every generation should be writing songs that rhyme in praise to God. When we say things like, I like the old hymns, and we should be singing the old hymns, what we're saying to the young generation is, you can never write poetry to honor God. Forget it. Guess what they say? Well then, see you. I'm headed to Nashville. or I'm headed to L.A. I'm going to write secular songs, and they will buy my albums, and they will make me rich because the church doesn't want my poetry sung to God. What a shame. And then we complain, young people don't come to church. Oh, you drove them away. Another word, spiritual songs. The Greek word is ode or ade, where we get the word adoration. This includes songs that reinforce our beliefs and draw us close to God. The last song we sang in the worship this morning was a spiritual song. Here's another passage I want us to understand. Listen to Colossians 3:16. How should we sing these psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs? We should be singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. Can I tell you something? Be thankful for the church, for its word and worship. And I know y'all thank me, and I know many of y'all come and say kind things to me. But do me a favor, go tell something to these guys who work in the back, who work up on the front, because most of the time what they hear is, that was too loud. They're watching you walk out angry, and it breaks their heart. I am thankful for this church family, for its heart, for the word, and its heart for worship. It's not perfect. We don't have it all together, but I see the focus. I see the balance, and we need to be grateful and say, hey, guys, thank y'all for what you did. Last service, several of the folks went up to the back and told that, and I saw them beaming. Here's the last one. Our time is gone. The third thing Paul says, godly relationships, word and worship, selfless ministry. Selfless ministry. Listen to Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Read it with me if you can. Giving thanks to God the Father through Him. That's why I chose this passage, for being thankful for the church family. When you do things, do it without any selfish motives. Do it because you're doing it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it is not about recognition. And this church is, I'm just so blessed to be part of a place where people are meeting the needs of people inside and outside. We're going across town, we're going across the globe to meet the needs in Jesus' name. With thanks to God the Father through Him, I am grateful. I am grateful. I'm grateful for the nursery workers. I don't have any children that age, but they come and they change diapers, they clean the place, they do whatever it takes to make it pleasant for you to be in worship. I'm grateful for the blaze workers who spend time with the children. I'm grateful for the Awana workers. I'm grateful for Kindle workers, ministry, joy ministry, men's ministry. They're going to be cooking turkeys for Acts. They're going to be out here the night before Thanksgiving cooking turkeys. And the rest of the meal too. For the women's ministry, for all they do, I'm grateful. Listen very carefully. I'm grateful. I'm grateful to God for this church family.
Thank you so much for joining us for this message. We are so thankful for the church family God has blessed us with here at Clearview. He's brought so many people together with different talents and different gifts to use for the upbuilding of this body and for God's kingdom. Are you thankful for your church family? One of the ways that we show that is by stepping up and serving, giving of our time, to help meet the needs of others. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this sermon's notes, check out Pastor Shaw's blog at abadanshaw.com.